Mortal Kombat, remakes, reboots, revivals. Nicole, Rolando, Eddie, fight! Will it be a flawless victory? Or do we need to finish it?
How's that?
What's with that accent?
That's the universal accent for Mortal Kombat.
Is that a universal? I feel like all the announcers in the game have been very, very not accented. They've been like, fight.
That was just like my badass voice. I don't know. It's better than Lord Raiden from the 1995 movie. I'll guarantee you that.
Yeah, because you put in effort.
Yeah. Oh. All right. Well, I guess we're going to come out fighting today. We're talking Mortal Kombat, 1995 original film to 2021 remake or reboot. Is it a reboot? It's a reboot.
It's a reboot. It is a reboot as they're trying to create a franchise.
There we go. And 2021 reboot of Mortal Kombat. I'm Nicole.
And I'm Rolando.
And this is Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals.
An original podcast
about unoriginality.
Fight!
I'm also in like Cobra Kai like mode, you know, whenever I watch Mortal Kombat, it's just because I'm really into like those martial arts things. Oh, you know, I love Bruce Lee movies and Kung Fu movies. And interestingly enough, for our book club, we're reading this book about women who can emit electricity from the palms of their hands and whatnot. And then going back and forth between this book to Mortal Kombat with like who is it with like the ice guy and all the different Sub-Zero and whatnot.
Sub-Zero, his name is Sub-Zero.
I think you know, I've lost touch with reality, you know?
But no, yeah, so his name was Sub-Zero.
Sub-Zero, yes, there you go.
Sub-Zero,
thank you.
And
a lot of different names to remember.
Oh, there's so many names in Mortal Kombat. I can only speak to the ones I used to play as a kid, which was up to Mortal Kombat 3. You might hear my dog in the background, guys. Yes, I got a new puppy.
His name is Nico.
His name is Nico. N-I-K-O. That makes a difference.
Well, I spell Nikki N-I-K-K-I, so I take it.
Okay,
after
so it's
me.
Pretty close, yes. So if you hear Nico in the background, I apologize. But fair warning. And you might hear him now because Eddie is cleaning up after him. Yes, Eddie Z is here, but not right here right now because he's taking care of Nico.
While Rolando like sits back and talks movies, poor Eddie's working with the bad knee.
It's like, yeah. But no, yeah. I used to play Mortal Kombat as a kid. I don't know. Did you ever play the game as a kid?
Yeah, so, you know, when I was a kid, and I feel like those kind of games were, like, all the rage of our childhood. Like
they
either, either the Nintendo or early systems at home, but then, like, going out and playing those where would you find them? In an arcade, I guess? I didn't have arcades where I grew up, so.
The original Mortal Kombat was from arcades, so I think, I mean, growing up, I grew up in like New York City, but I don't think my parents let me frequent arcades. I don't even know if arcades were a real thing. Eddie, are arcades like a real thing? Was that a real thing that people used to go to in the city? Because you actually grew up in Brooklyn.
Yes.
Really? Okay, interesting. Okay, so apparently they were real things that people can go to. My parents would not allow me to go to those in the Bronx, so.
Well, what I did, I went to places like Kids Kingdom and Sports World.
Oh my God, I loved Kids Kingdom.
Yeah, that was my fave, yeah.
You would have situations where candy stores would have like a back room and they would have like arcades. Like they would have like these Pac-Man, Street Fighter, Centipede. Yes.
Word. Yeah.
I never went to arcades
per se for them. I definitely played at like either kids, you know, specific places like Kids Kingdom or Sports
or Chuck E. Cheese also.
Or Chuck E. Cheese.
No, they didn't have arcade games. That was more of a like carnival games, so.
Mm, well,
I think Discovery Zone had arcade games, if I remember correctly.
I don't think I ever went there.
Oh, yeah, that's where I used to go in the Bronx. But Kids Kingdom, if you're here in North Jersey, you may have visited the King's Kingdom. I think there was only the one in Edgewater.
Yeah, that was the one that we went to.
The ball pit there was so dangerous. I loved it.
Yeah, I spent many a birthdays there. But
that one had an arcade, and so that would be the closest thing. I don't know if it had Mortal Kombat, though.
Yeah, that might have been too bloody for it. So it's interesting because I am so aware of Mortal Kombat in my youth, but at the same time, I'm like, when the hell did I ever play it?
Oh, I mean, my parents bought me the game one Christmas and stuff, and I think my dad was cool, so he let me. But I remember there was a lot of backlash growing up to Mortal Kombat because it was so bloody. It was very gory. Yeah,
it was very gory for its time period. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, I was, like, super into, like, games like The Simpsons and stuff. But I can't really recall playing Mortal Kombat, but that's just how ubiquitous I think it was, where it was that, like, everybody knew about it and everybody mm-hmm. wanted to play it, whether or mm-hmm. not it was readily available to you.
Right.
Which is funny, because I think I was only 4 years old when the first one came out. The first one came out in 1992.
Correct.
That's how old it is. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I can't. That's... Who knew?
Older than I thought it was.
What longevity.
Yeah, seriously. And I think since 1992, there's been over 20 reiterations of this game.
Yes. I don't even know what the most recent one is. I think I played for a little bit the crossover that everyone had been waiting for, the DC Universe versus Mortal Kombat.
Was that what everyone was waiting for?
I was. I didn't know I wanted it until we got it. And is the game?
And then I was waiting for it, yeah.
Is the game good? It's fine. Did it give me brutalities? Not the superheroes. The superheroes got like something called heroic. Heroic brutality. That's what it was called. Not fatalities. And I wanted to see, like, you know, Batman and Superman kill people.
Yeah, that's all everybody ever wants.
Me, yeah, specifically me. But
to answer your question, they're up to 11, by the way.
11 games. That makes sense because it was a recent Mortal Kombat X.
Mm-hmm. There was, yeah.
Or 10, well, I guess.
Last year was Mortal Kombat 11 Aftermath and Ultimate.
Look at that.
They're still getting released, you know. That's the thing. Video games is not my forte.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I'm actually going to defer to Rolando for just a little bit of history of the video game, at least.
Oh, you'd be mistaken to do that. But,
but I mean, just looking at the list of the release timeline, you know, there's been a steady amount of Mortal Kombat's released since 1992. I think the longest there's ever been has been like a 2-year gap in which there wasn't a Mortal Kombat game. So this game has staying power and I think is highly influential in terms of like fighting games.
I would agree, right? Because I think what made the original Mortal Kombat was the style, right? Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. They were almost like pictographs. Like, they were like photographs of people kind of pixelated and stuff. So it felt almost like if you were seeing a live action fight. And I think that style is what differentiated it from something like Street Fighter, which was very animated, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Mortal Kombat was not that. So, for me, that's what made it cool. And the blood and the gore.
It was, definitely. Well, when I did some research on it, too, you know, there was a couple of things that influenced them, but a lot of it was cinema. You know, Bruce Lee had a huge impact in the action film genre when, you know, he popularized Kung Fu in this country, in America, in the 70s. And then even in the 80s, with the rise of people like Arnold Schwarzenegger and then the early 90s, you know, Jean-Claude Van Damme. These people, like, they really helped popularize fighting films, right?
Right.
And I think in the 80s less so, but in the 90s, there was, like, this return of, like, people really being interested in East Asian fighting films, you know? Not just Kung Fu, a bunch of films.
Like B movies?
No, just because it's about fighting doesn't mean it's B.
I don't know. I meant, like, those... Because I remember growing up in the Bronx, like, passing by Fordham Road, there would always be, like, these shops full of, like, VHSs and stuff that looked like, but they were all like Asian like movies and stuff, like Asian like action movies and stuff.
Yeah,
yes.
Which, mm-hmm. to my understanding, turned out someone told me that those are B movies and stuff. I was just like, I didn't know.
Maybe Americans consider them B movies.
Maybe that's a good point.
I definitely would like to challenge the definition of B movie, but I'll leave that to the side. But films like Hong Kong films, like The Swordsman and Zoo Warriors, are actually what inspired the people at Midway to create. This also, I think it was Bloodsport with Jean-Claude Van Damme, that they were like, they literally wanted to make a game based off of that, which is why they made Johnny Cage. It was like Johnny Cage, Jean-Claude.
Was basically, yeah, it makes sense why he looks like
based off of him. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that he even, like, you know how he does that split thing and then he like hits you in his balls? That's straight out of Bloodsport. That is straight out of Bloodsport.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So yeah, which, they
wanted
it to be.
I can't wait to complain about that for the new one.
Really? Okay, cool. So they actually really wanted you to have like a sense of actual what fighting is, and they wanted it to be violent. And I think that this is actually an interesting case about the art of violence, at least in like films and video games and stuff, you know, fighting choreography. Like when we talk about Kung Fu films, Bruce Lee films, and how beautifully choreographed it is, you know, the more realistic it is, right, in terms of not only just like watching an actual quote unquote fight happening, but in terms of like blood and the violence that's happening, I think adds to the appeal of it at the end of the day. So yeah. I think
I mean, also, not just the blood, but the fatalities. That is the big takeaway. So if you played this as a kid growing up, you know that depending on what character you were playing, there was a secret set of like a button mashing you could do. And your characters, if they defeat their opponent, could create a fatality. And those fatalities were brutal. I think Kano, for example, he rips someone's heart out. Reptile, I believe, takes like he can rip out your spine. Right. And these were like little gory animations that were just so cool to watch as a kid, and so violent, so bloody. It's just like, it was just awesome growing up, you know.
Fatality.
Yeah, something that I think in the 90s too, when video games and arcade games are, you know, that they were really coming to fruition, it was one of the first to be like, oh wow. Look at this is why I think definitely part of the appeal. And I think the story behind it was also one of the major like things that led to its success. I would say. So actually, Rolando, maybe this is a good time for us to talk about the story of Mortal Kombat.
Okay. So the story is actually relatively simple. I only know the story as of recently only because I did research for this podcast. But I used to play these games as a kid. I didn't know that there was a story. But as it turns out, the story that is canon is that the Earth Realm and the Other Realm are in war. And so the Elder Gods have decided to settle these wars. You guys are going to get into a tournament. If one of the realms wins 10 tournaments in a row, and each tournament happens in a generation, the other realm is allowed to invade said realm. So by the point the games take place, the Earth Realm has lost for 9 generations. And there is the 10th. And now Raiden has said, it's just like, well, all my hope here lies in Liu Kang. And I don't know if that's canon, if Liu Kang is the main character. But I always thought growing up Liu Kang was the main character, if only because of the movie. Sonya Blade, Johnny Cage, those Jax, some of those Earth Realm heroes. And then you have the people who are fighting for the Other Realm, which would be Shao Kahn, others, Reptile. I think Reptile fights for himself and stuff. But anyway, that's it. Yeah. That's your basic storyline.
Yeah, that's pretty much the simplest form of it. I mean, we're not here to talk about the video game. So we're going to, you know, do the bare minimum on it. And anyone who really loves the video game that's listening and you're screaming at your audio player, we're sorry, but we're here to talk about the movies primarily. Yeah. You're probably like, they didn't establish the story until the second or third Mortal Kombat and blah, blah, blah. And like,
that might be true.
That might be true. I think that actually is probably somewhere around the truth. So again, just to defend ourselves,
Shao Kahn shows up until the second or third one.
Yeah, I know that the film is not only based on the game Mortal Kombat, but it's the ones that followed it. And I think that's where they probably got the story from.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, we're here to talk about the films. And the films being the 1985 one that was directed by Paul W.S. Anderson, and this new one directed by Simon McCoid, who I don't think he's done anything else.
He's a first-time director.
Yeah, which is really ambitious of Hollywood, but I think they're doing that more and more.
I mean, that's a good thing, right?
I guess, but at the end of the day, you also know that Hollywood's just like, just do what you're told and shut up. Like, they're not hiring artists, they're just hiring.
They're not hiring visionaries, they're just hiring, like, yes men.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Well, you know. So,
and no disrespect to this man, but I'm just speaking in terms of Hollywood. I'm not saying that is, you know, what he is. So, I hope he's not listening.
The man.
But yeah. I would like to say that, though, the man who made the original 1995 Mortal Kombat also directed films Event Horizon, Soldier, Resident Evil, which we'll probably be doing later on this year.
I can't wait.
Yeah. Alien vs. Predator. He actually did a version of The Three Musketeers, which definitely escaped us.
Which one?
The 2011 one.
Oh, I don't remember the 2011 one.
I don't think it was that popular. But yeah, so
I mean, have the Three Musketeers ever been popular?
I've watched the one with Chris O'Donnell and Kiefer Sutherland and Tim Curry many times in my youth.
Interesting. I've seen it. I've seen parts of it. I've never seen the whole movie.
We should do one.
You know what? Honestly, we wait like another year or two. That's probably down the pipeline.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. 2011, it's due for a new one.
Mm-hmm. It's been 20 years. So just seriously. Like this is when Hollywood is listening. They're just like, that's right. That one green light.
But so like Rolando said, this basic premise of Earth and Outworld, you know, in this kind of like combative state constantly, and Earth realm being in dire straits, and the fact that they need to win or else, you know, everyone's fucked. That's going to be the same from the original to the remake, to the reboot. What changes is more so the characters and how they tell the story of how these characters, you know, save Earthrealm, essentially.
Right.
So with the original.
Oh, it's called Outworld, not Otherrealm? Okay, so
I think it's,
I
at least in the 1995 one, it's Outworld.
No, that might be, I mean, like I said, I didn't even know these had a storyline as a kid. I just saw you just like pick a fighter and fight. And I know, guys, don't come at me. I get it. Like in the instruction manual, it tells you all the characters, like little backstories. You get a paragraph of their backstory, but I didn't read that shit.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
I picked
everyone
my favorite color
forward,
and went
forward,
with it.
Forward. Yeah, exactly.
That's how I picked my favorite fighter, right? Like it was always Reptile because he was green and black and that looked cool.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I even know who I did all the time. Maybe Sonya Blade.
You think it was Sonya Blade? I think in the first one, she was the only girl. And then by the three, which is one of my favorite ones, I think there were like now a few others, Sybil or Sintel, something like that. Katana, Marina. They all, here's the thing about the character design for these games, guys. They're literally the same character with different colors.
Yeah.
Like that. That is it.
It must have been a lot harder to like completely build a character new back then too.
I have to believe. Yeah,
we're gonna just assume that. But yeah. So in terms of the 1995 film. Okay. Now right. I also want to talk about the early 90s in terms of video game adaptations. They weren't that great, right?
No.
One of the most famous ones that were really terrible was that, you know, Hollywood
was
like...
Don't you dare say it. Super Mario Brothers?
Super Mario Brothers.
Super Mario Brothers is a work of art. John Leguizamo was so hot. And that movie, I feel, is so misrepresented by the media because that movie slaps. That movie is so good. That movie is so fun. That movie
I happen to love that movie, but I also think it's a so bad it's good movie.
Oh,
like, I'm not
yeah, no, I agree.
Great.
That's a movie you get high and you just laugh your ass off while watching
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Oh, I watched that movie so much in my youth. I loved that movie. But when you think about it, I mean, like, the relationship it has to the video game is pretty non-existent. And
oh, yeah. Except for
the video game.
I think the ba-bomb is the only thing that, like, is taken directly from the game in terms
yes,
of design.
Yes, there is. Koopas are a thing and all that stuff, but...
But they're not, like, the Koopas that we
like,
know.
Fungus and all that is just really... It's I don't
I
know.
Did, I did want a Yoshi so badly.
Oh, my God. Yoshi's my favorite.
Yeah.
So.
Like that little lizard.
Yeah.
But, yeah. We're getting
but
lost
again,
in the weeds.
It was a flop. It was a critical and commercial failure. And so people are like, oh, man, Hollywood just can't do like video game adaptations. It just can't happen.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't think Mortal Kombat. I mean, it was highly anticipated by fans and whatnot. But they also had like kind of a lot to prove. Do you know whether or not this was a critical and commercial success?
Oh, this was a commercial success. Indeed. This movie mm-hmm. was top of the box office 3 weeks.
Yes,
when I learned
was.
That I was talk about gag, I was just like, what? How? Really? This movie? This little, this, it's like a, because it looks like an independent film. Like, this movie does not have a high budget. I cannot believe it had a high budget. Did it?
Budget-wise, I'm not sure what it, it was $18 million.
Okay, I guess it's high
That's
back
pretty
then.
High, yeah.
But even then, it still looks like a... Like a very, very low budget movie. I mean, most of that budget must have gone into that awful looking reptile. You know, that CGI reptile.
Give it a break. It was the mid-90s.
Oh, I am. I'm just saying. But like, that's probably where bulk of their production value went into trying to
Maybe.
Get that.
Maybe. This is also like New Line Cinema. And they released it in August. And if you know I mean, this has kind of changed now with streaming. Mm-hmm. But if you know anything about like old school way of like releasing films, they did not have faith in their August releases.
It's true. August and January were like dead on arrival.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And February. So, and February, yes. So the fact that this was like a major success for them, you know, they were counting their lucky stars. It was a budget of $18 million and it grossed $122
million. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like I said, it warranted a sequel, which people were not into, and
true. Yeah, no,
television series.
Yeah, I actually didn't watch it consistently because I never knew when it was on, but I did see a few episodes of the series, yes.
So, so it's interesting, though, because these movies are kind of, I guess, would you call them character films?
Hell fucking no. Not the first one.
They have so many different characters that you have to like meet because there's a story, but it's also the people part of it who like you want to get to know and to like pretty much win Earthrealm.
Right.
And so in this film we have Shaolin Monk Liu Kang, who we open mm-hmm. up with, and he's kind of like on a revenge mission, right?
Yeah, he serves as the main character. He's the chosen one.
He is the chosen one. There's movie star Johnny Cage, who's kind of like the sarcastic guy.
Yeah, who was not attractive, but you know, he I didn't find him attractive, but like because he was supposed to be hot, right?
Yeah, he didn't look like a movie star to me. I looked at him and I was like, who the hell is this guy? So he wasn't a movie star. And then there is Sonya Blade, who's a military officer. And again, she's out to find Kato or Kano?
Kano. Yeah. I know that from the games, like Kano is her number one enemy.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And from both films, honestly.
And in both films, like they honor that. Yes.
They really do honor that. So, yeah. And they are chosen by Raiden. He is the defender of the Earthrealm.
Mm-hmm.
And they have been chosen to overcome the powerful adversaries in the Outworld.
Correct.
And it's interesting, too, because we meet them and then they go to Raiden and they're told it. And then, okay, now be the best fighter you can be, right? It really just kind of gets the plot moving.
There's no training, no nothing. In fact, Raiden is constantly like belittling them, I think.
Yes, like, he is. Like, yeah, he's like, I've been chosen. You guys have been chosen, but like you guys suck.
He's like, you guys are the worst. I can't believe this is what the Elder Gods have left me. The Elder Gods, they must be crazy.
Yeah, seriously.
And then also, mind you, Liu Kang is falling in love with Katana, who she is the princess of the Outworld.
Yes.
The rightful heir. She's 10,000 years old, but looks like a smoking hot 20-something.
Yeah.
She's so pretty.
She's really pretty.
And now I don't remember, and I recently rewatched it, but she doesn't even fight. She doesn't even get to use her like famous blades. She has like cool fan blades. That's like her signature character move. Mm-hmm. I don't think it'll appear. They won't appear until the second movie.
Oh, okay. I'm going to take your word for that.
Yeah.
We also have some other characters that, you know, are kind of important. Like there's Kano, who's...
Kano, yes.
So in this one, he's part of the Outworld. And he is definitely the adversary primarily of Sonya Blade.
So he works for the Outworld. I don't know if he's from the Outworld. I think he is human.
He works for
it. That's why Sonya Blade is after him.
Oh, I'm sorry. There's Sub-Zero. He doesn't really talk a lot, but he's got this amazing power of pretty much turning you into ice and forming ice particles and using it as weapons.
Yeah, he's like a waterbender, but with ice only.
Yep. There is also, not as much, but there's Scorpion.
Yeah, there is Scorpion. We do see Scorpion for a cool fight sequence between him and Johnny Cage. He's one of the Outworld's warriors. Scorpion was always a cool one. If you remember, guys, in the game, his famous catchphrase is, do you know it, Nicole?
No.
No? Eddie? Scorpion?
Scorpion, no.
Get over here! That was his always thing. He throws like that chain. He has like a chain in his hand and then he brings you close. That's like one of his moves.
Oh, interesting.
That's why in the movie you see like the chain, it has like snappy mouths. Do you remember?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
You don't remember, my God. They spent so much money on those effects and you don't remember, Nicole. How dare you?
Let me tell you what I do remember. Like I said, you know, like I was like, maybe this movie's a character film because there's so many different... That's the thing about Mortal Kombat is like the allure of the video game is who to play as a character to fight and like what they have, you know, to their backstory and to their skill set and whatnot.
You are sorely mistaken if you think that's what the appeal is. I told you, it's blood and fighting.
It's one of the appeals, mashing, Rolando. You know? But so the movie, I mean, it kind of cared about that. But at the end of the day, you know, you came for fights, right? The movie knows mm-hmm. that you're here to see fights. And I actually think this film did some of the fight sequences very well done.
I agree. I mean, that is part of the appeal of this movie, right? Like,
absolutely.
Like, this is a popcorn flick. I'm not, you know, do I care if Shang Tsung defeats Raiden and, like, takes over the Earth Realm? No. But do I get to see some interesting set pieces and, like, some cool fight sequences?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's this one fight sequence in particular, and it's Johnny Cage, and they're surrounded by fire. Was it Scorpion?
That's Scorpion, yes. Because Scorpion is basically an emissary of hell.
Yes, he's undead.
He is.
I thought that fight sequence was so great. I mean, there were so many times where I saw what exactly was going on in the fight.
Mm-hmm.
It was so impressive, the choreography. And then there were such, like, really... And then he would intersperse it with, like, these beautiful wide shots where he was doing, like... pans from mm-hmm. like or like tilts
yeah
really really it, well
because you see all like atmosphere. The all those bars you really yeah mm-hmm. he made use of the setting
really creative yes and then mm-hmm. he would go in for these really great POVs of the fighters mm-hmm. and like they would kick you or you would just see their point of views and all this stuff. I just the fight sequences I thought were really well done, especially for those 90s special effects, like that character, who is it, like Groog or something, I don't know his name, but
the one Goro
with four, yeah Goro with four arms.
This puny mortal will be no problem. I'll crush him in one blow.
All right. Let's dance.
So Goro, that was animatronic.
It's impressive, honestly.
I agree, yes. The Goro animatronic is once again showing you. So this is a beautiful example. When even rewatching it, I was just like, okay, is it the best animatronic in the world? No, but... like, in today's standards, if they use that and just touch it up with some CGI, like, mm-hmm. for the mouth movement, we're talking here convincing. Absolutely convincing. That's the only part of the Goro Goro design that didn't sell was, like, the mouth movement. Because, like, it can't, like, move the lips, obviously. Yeah. Yeah. Forgivable. Forgivable for the time. Because I think, overall, seeing Goro in that fight sequence is so cool.
I think so, too.
Where, you know... well, we'll talk about this in the new one, but obviously, guess surprise, guys, they go CGI for Goro in the 2021 version.
Yes. Oh my gosh, yes, he comes back. I mean, also, like, so the big villain, right, is Shang Tsung.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the one who's, like, he's, like, the Lord Raiden of the Outworld, and he collects your soul.
Yes.
Like, if you get defeated, your soul is his, and he says that your soul is mine.
He does.
And even, like, you know... that part of the film, even though it was mostly visual effects and whatnot, was really impressive. There was something more organic, I guess, because I guess it was the 90s and because they had to do a lot like themselves instead of on a computer mm-hmm. that I was just like really living for, other than the whole absolute 90s-ness of it all. It was so aggressively 90s.
I mean, 90s, I mean, let's talk about that soundtrack, right?
Like, that come on. Soundtrack. I thought it was Too Unlimited, but it's not.
Oh, is that the a band?
Do you don't know Too Unlimited?
No, what is that?
Too Unlimited. Okay, so here are some of the songs you might know them from. Do 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 do.
Oh yeah, yeah, I do know that.
And then my favorite song by them, The Twilight Zone. Do 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 do.
Oh, that sounds exactly like Mortal Kombat.
It does, right? That's why I was like, it's Too Unlimited, but it wasn't.
No, it wasn't. But that song is so good. Now, that is a song, guys. You do occasionally will still hear late night on the radio when they're throwing in those, like, throwback songs, because that is such a good techno song. Like,
yeah, seriously.
This movie is a Molly popping, you know, PCP tripping. Like, you just want to, like, you just want to go into a rave, you know, and just, like, party it up when you hear this music. And this movie helps. Like, if I was at a party and they're playing this in the background and just, like, strobe lights going, I'd be like, yeah, take me there.
Yeah.
Take me there, guys.
Absolutely. So I really appreciate that of it. The soundtrack is very 90s. And, yeah, even just, like, I mean, obviously the special effects are quite dated, but still impressive. I think my favorite part about this original film was the use of locations. Like, mm-hmm. you know, the safe haven of where Lord Raiden is. Don't get me... I will get back to Lord Raiden. And the fact that Liu Kang was our main character.
Yeah, Liu Kang. He had a mission.
First of all, it was a Hollywood action movie, and the main character was not white. That's fantastic.
Interesting. Even rewatching that never occurred to me.
Which, like, is also, I think, a very positive thing that it didn't. It was so organic and it worked so well, you know? So, I mean, it's nice. Like, it works mm-hmm. instead of it being like, give us props for giving us an Asian main character.
Right.
But then when you look at it, you're like, oh, this is really nice representation. So it works in both ways.
For sure. You know what's so interesting about Mortal Kombat? Like, I remember just the character designs in general. Mm-hmm. I guess some of them were, like, Asian-inspired, obviously, right? Like, you have the ninja suits, right? Raiden always felt white to me. So that's why when they casted a white guy here, it never bothered me. Because despite the fact that he had that, like, that hat, you know?
Yeah, which is very East Asian. Asian. Yeah.
But, like, the character design, but he always looked white. He always looked white in the pictures.
Now, okay, I'm not gonna engage in anything because I can't really recall. Maybe I'll look up a picture of Lord Raiden from the original and say. Yeah, but I thought that the casting was terrible for Lord Raiden in the 1995.
I mean, it didn't bother me, but yeah, Lord Raiden was terrible.
I think they dubbed him. They had to have dubbed him. That could not been his voice.
It couldn't have just been bad ADR.
I mean, it was. The moment he, like, lifted up his head and he said something, I was like, that does not match.
Wait, was it maybe definitely... your movie that you were watching? Where'd you watch it?
I watched it on Peacock.
Oh, same. I was watching it on Peacock, too. I didn't even see that. I didn't notice that. But I also was just...
Well, yeah, I'm an editor, so that's fair. I notice those things. And I think I sometimes look out for it more than you might.
Of course, because I usually let myself be transported into the movie.
Yeah, I don't.
No, you don't.
Not for my podcast, where I'm supposed to be thinking critically of it.
I could think critically, but still let myself engage with the content.
That's doing two things at once.
Are you saying that I can't multitask?
I don't think anyone can multitask.
Oh, I love taking notes. What about you? You take notes during the movies. How is that? That's multitasking.
I mean, writing down my... well, I'm thinking...
because then you're looking down and you're not seeing.
Not always.
I would argue that that's even more shameful.
Then watch it a second time and don't take
notes. No, I don't have time. No one has time. We do not have that time in this podcast, guys.
Oh, this is a good fight.
Yeah.
but I'm going to go back to whether or not he was in the film. I guess maybe a different actor could have just done a different job. I didn't think Christopher Lambert as Lord Raiden was very good because, like you said, too, he came off as, like, really nitpicky and, like, not happy with his crew. Like, with his chosen people who is going to save the Earth realm.
What about a David Carradine?
David Carradine would have been better because he was definitely alive and kicking and he could have done it. Maybe that would have been too cliche.
On the nose.
Get the guy from Kung Fu to be in this. But he definitely would have been better than Christopher Lambert, who at that time was an action movie star.
Who? Christopher Lambert? I don't know who he is.
So he was he was in some action movies from the 80s. I'm pretty sure he was in Highlander. Do you know Highlander?
Yes, I do know Highlander. The movie? Yeah. Was he the Highlander?
He was Connor McLeod / Russell Nash, so maybe he was. I don't know.
I don't remember. I can't say I remember the movies that well.
I think he was the Highlander.
Okay.
Yes.
Eddie has confirmed he was a Highlander.
He also was in a remake of Tarzan.
Okay.
And he was in a film called Loaded Weapon and Fortress and stuff. So, but I mean, I don't know.
There's all right, I looked up pictures of Raiden from the 1995 game, and basically what threw me, he was always in shadow, basically, his face, and he just had glowing blue eyes. So it could have been any race.
Mm. Well, they went with white for this one, and I mean, it was a bad choice.
They probably, they had already a lead who was Asian and a female as, like, his second, and it's just like, okay, this is too much representation going on right
we're
now.
We're going really far.
We need to balance it out with Johnny Cage and Raiden.
And Kano, yeah. I think anybody, again, I'm just going to stand by it. Anybody but Christopher Lambert would have been good. I was very displeased with his portrayal of Raiden. And I don't know. Maybe it's because I watched these films backwards. I did the Rolando where I watched.
And I did the opposite because I naturally saw Mortal Kombat originally first.
Well, so I Look at that. Wow.
Yeah, wow.
Going against the grain today. I watched the original and I really enjoyed that. I mean, the reboot, and I really enjoyed that Lord Raiden. And I actually felt like, okay, this is, yeah, this is like a man who's wise, who brings together all these people in the Earth Realm to defend them, right? You kind of need that quality. And he didn't have that at all. It was very disappointing.
Do you want to pivot to talk about the reboot?
I mean, we could. I don't have too much to say about the original film because at the end of the day, it's an action movie, and it's,
I mean, yeah, I think you hit the nail. I think you hit the nail on the head when you were talking about like what makes this movie like so well liked, despite the fact that it's not a good movie, guys. Like, let's be real, this is not a good movie, but it's a very enjoyable movie because like of I think it's a set sequences. I think actually the seeing also the costumes come to life is also exciting if you were a fan of the games, like seeing Sub-Zero, seeing Scorpion. My favorite one was Reptile, right? Despite the bad CGI. I can forgive all that because you know what? Reptile came in the green suit and he had a long fight sequence with Liu Kang. I mean, Goro, you know, this is a very, very enjoyable movie. Like you're basically watching a video game come to life.
Yeah.
And if that's what you wanted with this movie, that's what you got.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think that this new one wanted to give you a bit of that with a little bit more to it, if we're going to pivot to the 2021.
Yeah, it wanted to give you lore that has been developed as the game has progressed, because if you're not like me, who kind of stopped playing after Mortal Kombat 3, and you were continuing to play, then you know that the lore of Mortal Kombat has actually gotten rebooted and kind of revisited in the past to where we are now, where Mortal Kombat is now.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, just like the games have seen reboots, so has the movie, inevitably. Here we are, 2021's Mortal Kombat.
Throughout history, different cultures all over the world reference a great tournament of champions. That dragon marking? I think it's an invitation to fight for something known. Mortal Kombat.
Apparently they've been trying to reboot this for a while.
This I know.
Yeah. Supposed to be a third film, and then when that didn't, because the second one was not very well received, they were like, okay, let's just make a new one again. And it took them all this time, and honestly the perfect time to do it, because everybody's getting rebooted and stuff. So,
well, there was a short film. You remember how Power Rangers kind of would set off the movie, the reboot? There was a short film years back that kind of sparked interest in revisiting Mortal Kombat, right? Because they went the dark route, the serious route. And this might actually have been around the same, a little bit before Batman Begins even, right? Maybe not, maybe after. But it didn't generate enough interest to make a movie. However, it generated enough interest to make like a YouTube series. And it stars that she was the Sarah Michelle Gellar type character from Not Another Teen Movie. She's in Moms. Eddie, you watch. You know who I'm talking about. I forget her name. She played Sonya Blade.
Oh, really?
Anna Faro?
No, not Anna Faro. she's a rich girl from Mom.
Oh, okay. Yes.
I don't know who. I forget her name. But, you know, she was in Not Another Teen Movie.
The only one I know from Not Another Teen Movie is the girl in The L Word.
And Chris Evans.
In terms of women?
Oh, women. That's who we're talking about.
You just wanted to bring up Chris Evans.
Any chance you get a chance, anytime you get a chance to bring Chris Evans up, you bring him up.
Yeah, apparently. Okay. But so continue with this thought process of yours.
Oh, that's it. So no, yeah, I know that they were trying to after that, there was interest in trying to make a Mortal Kombat movie.
Oh, I see.
I think there was
Jamie Presley?
Jamie Presley. Thank you. Jamie Presley was Sonya Blade.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Eddie. And after that flopped, I think even like as far as like 3 or 4 years back, there was like, again, talks about bringing this property back to life. And again, it fell apart. But here we are now. Landed eventually.
And I think that there's this trend going around that this Mortal Kombat went down, where we want to see origin stories.
Do we? I didn't.
Well, apparently. Where Hollywood thinks we want to see origin stories. Like you said, the Power Rangers was like, let's show them about how they became the Power Rangers. And then everyone hated it because they're like, they're not even the Power Rangers until the last 10 minutes of the movie. And
isn't that an argument that can Power be made about Rangers. Batman Begins?
That too. And yet people suck Christopher Nolan's dick.
Yeah, because it was a good origin story. Any chance we get a fight about this series?
Maybe
we go
it's
for
his
it.
Fault then. Maybe ever since Batman Begins, you're like, oh yeah, people love origin stories. Yeah, give him an action movie that's actually an origin
no,
story.
No, not just origin story, but dark, gritty origin stories.
Yeah, which that's, this, I mean, kind of felt like, but not
no, no,
as
no.
much.
Oh yeah, I think that this one tried to go that dark route to a flaw. And there was only one, I think there was one beacon of hope in this movie for me.
Which was?
Kano.
That's interesting. A lot of people are saying that he's like one of the best things about it.
He is my favorite thing about this movie. I think his, because he felt like such a breath of fresh air. Like he was snarky. He was funny. He was the complete opposite of everything going on in that movie, right? Which is kind of taking itself so seriously. And he
very seriously, yeah.
He brought that levity and he also brought that fun that I kind of wish a couple more characters had, right?
Yeah, I would agree. This film wasn't as comedic as the original.
No, but the other one wasn't comedic on purpose, though.
Well, I guess when you have like Johnny Cage and the way that like the three characters were
more so
talking to each other, there wasn't a lot of that in this one, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, Kano would have been that. Kano is that comedic relief.
Yes, and yeah. He was so kind of in the first one. But again, when we have a character like Johnny Cage who's front and center, you're getting jokes kind of left and right, and like sarcasm. Where mm-hmm. it took us a while to get it in this new one.
Yeah, because, I think by the end of the first act is when we finally get like that character who is kind of he's great because like on some level he is the general audience, right? It's just like, what is it? This is all wacky. This is all crazy. This makes no sense. He's there. He's saying those things. And he's just like, yeah, he's right. Listen to him.
Absolutely.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, so it's interesting too because this one. It like goes deep into origin stories. Like it even tells you the origin story of Scorpio or Scorpion.
Scorpion. He's
Scorpion.
Not, I mean, he might be a Scorpio.
He might be. I'd be a grudge. I mean, he's grudge holding. He won't die to get of his grudge done. That is the most Scorpio thing I have ever heard in my life.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Indeed.
So anyway, so the film actually opens up in the 17th century Japan, and we mm-hmm. meet the character of Hanzo Hasashi. And his family is murdered by Bihan. Is it Bihan or Bihan?
I think it's Bihan.
By Bihan and this whole rival clan. Uh-huh. And then, it's terrible to see his wife and his son.
Frozen. Yeah, frozen.
And then, they dead. Hide his newborn daughter. And then you really see Hanzo Hasashi, pretty much killed. Like, yes. In a very brutal, gory way.
Can we talk
way.
About how I think the guy who played Sub-Zero was so handsome?
He was handsome.
He was so attractive, and I was rooting for him. It's just like, well, we can't let the beautiful people die, guys. So sorry. Sorry, Scorpion. Your yeah. time has come.
So it sets up this whole thing where the blood of Hanzo Hasashi will unite a new generation of Earthrealm's champions, right? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like this is the inciting incident in terms of script. And then we kind of jump forward to today, from 17th century to Japan. Because, everything that happened in between doesn't matter. And then we meet the people who are supposed to save Earthrealm. So, yeah. and it's interesting because in this film, there's no Johnny Cage.
There's no Johnny Cage. What is up
At
with
all.
That? Why?
Yeah. Very interesting choice. And instead, now, I don't know. Tell me, Mortal He's, Kombat player, is Cole Young a character of Mortal Kombat?
Okay. I thought, all right. Here's my line of thought, guys. And this is some spoiler shit I'm going to get into here. I genuinely thought Cole was going to either become Scorpion,
mm-hmm.
right? Or, right, that makes sense, right? His great ancestor used like the Scorpion type things. And I'm just like, oh, okay, that's it. He's going to like embody that and become Scorpion. Or I also thought that he was going to be revealed to be Liu Kang, which might have been a little racist on my part as he was Asian. Like, I thought that was going to be the twist. He's just like, his name isn't Liam, it's Liu Kang. That's your actual name.
Liam. His name is Wasn't Cole Young.
Oh, whatever. I don't know. I thought his name was Liam. There you go. I wasn't even paying attention to the names of these people.
Oh my
but
goodness.
So I thought he was going to, I thought the twist was going to be that he's Liu Kang, or that he's one of these characters that we had from the original series. Turns out Hollywood said, no, we're going to Mary Sue this shit. He is an original character that we have created.
Pretty much. Yeah.
And this is the very definition of Mary Sue.
Yeah, seriously. And tell our viewers, listeners, what Mary Sue is.
A Mary Sue is a character that is written into a story it's like the idea that a writer's kind of throwing themselves into it and making themselves like so awesome and so cool. And like, he is the chosen one. He's the one with all these great powers, and he's the one who saves the Earth realm and stuff. That's him.
Yeah.
He is a Mary Sue. And that's usually a pejorative term that's usually for women, right? Because that's something that women get called out. But you know what? Here we are, men doing it too.
Yeah. Hey, 2021. It's interesting. Equality. Because it's like the stereotypical Hollywood thing where it's like the fighter who's like, you know, lost himself and who's like fighting in dingy places and like needs this redemption story is called to save the world and find something within himself. You know, like, we've seen this a million times. So Hollywood is like, let's just recycle that, right?
Yeah.
And it's interesting because since I watched it backwards and since I'm not as familiar with Mortal Kombat and I'm really just watching them as films, I literally went back to the first one. I was like, where's Cole Young? And then I realized, oh, hey, he's, and then I was like, oh my God, that makes so much sense that Hollywood was like, no, we need to tell the story through this character's point of view. We're not going to make Liu Kang this one's main character.
And they chose him, right? They couldn't choose his daughter.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that could have been, you could have killed him off in the first act and, like, make now the protagonist become his daughter, who I would have been like, it'd be like,
you're going to make a character? Now.
Yeah, that was just like, ooh, now we get to see, like, an 11-year-old fight. Like, when I was an 11-year-old fighting in these games. Perfect.
Or it could have just been a woman. It could have been Chloe Young, but whatever. I mean, I have no problem. I'm saying it could have been a woman.
Oh, the daughter. Okay, got it. Chloe Young.
I have no problems with this character of Cole Young. I think he was perfectly, you know, fine. But it's, I mean, he was nothing special.
Maybe this is on me. I think the actor was kind of like, duh, huh? Like, that's kind of like all he did. And it annoyed the hell out of me.
Well, that's also bad writing, though, because I think he literally is he's taking our place, right? We're all new to the world and we're all figuring things out. So he's kind of reacting like us. And then, like, he's not funny. You know, he doesn't really have any character traits to him.
He's not angry like Sonya Blade.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Yeah.
Nope. And he's not like sarcastic and, you know, got this huge past like Kano or anybody.
Right. Yeah. No, he's just like, he's just your wallpaper, man. Like, you're doing nothing.
Literally,
you're not
wallpaper.
Even from the original game. What are you doing here?
And then Jax gets his arms cut off for you. Okay.
That's true. Yeah. of course, the black man is the one who takes all this brutality.
So it's interesting because, yeah, seriously, it's, this film was like, okay, so before we introduced Johnny Cage, I don't know why they just excluded him, actually, now that I think about it, because everybody else is here.
Maybe he's not in the games anymore.
Because, but you know what this particular movie does is, this really isn't a tournament.
Oh, that's the other thing. You're
it's prepping right for the tournament. Yeah,
it's like prepping for the tournament.
And giving origins.
Yeah, so this Johnny Cage becomes part, I'm assuming becomes, like, I guess, would be the second part of this, because it ends with looking for Johnny Cage.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like...
Spoiler.
This, yeah, spoiler.
No, I already gave everyone warning.
But that's what we do. You know, so it's like, this is just like, hey, it's like we're training before the fight, and... all this goes down before the actual tournament all take place.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting, too, because they were like, let's give Sub-Zero and let's give Scorpion, you know, more to their characters.
And I think the reason for that is because those are probably the fan favorite characters.
Oh, yeah.
They've actually gotten, like, origin stories on, like, animated, like, movies and stuff. And, like, their feud is supposed to be, like, kind of one of the driving forces of the series, right?
Yeah.
So that makes sense
the
focus
here.
Why focus on them. All right. Cole Young aside, I will say this. Like, the origin story, like, seeing actually... Scorpion and Sub-Zero's origin story, like that fight, like that was actually, I thought that was fun. I actually was, after I saw that sequence, I was just like, oh, okay, that kind of set a high bar for the rest of the movie for me, right? Where I'm like, this is an interesting, it's like, you know, it's a nice set piece. This is the fighting, the pace I thought was actually well done for the movie. And then it kind of just like, kind of like teeters once we meet Cole Young, and I'm just like, oh, I take it back. You set that bar very low already, guys.
Yeah.
Then it's kind of like, I feel like this movie for me was ebbs and flows, because I think for me, the best parts of this movie was when it kind of decided to let go of the seriousness and go with like the fun action stuff.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Not the best choreographed stuff.
No,
but
well, it's also the editing.
Yes, agreed. It is the editing. It's too fast paced. It doesn't hold the shots. It's just like you throw a punch and you cut to like a close up of the punch. And it's just like, why?
Yeah, and too much VFX going on. And you couldn't, whereas in the 1995 one, you were really able to like get a sense of atmosphere, setting, you know, like set design, choreography. It was just like, again, with Hollywood, just like making everything so convoluted, coding from like 8 different shots, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And not really like knowing what's going on. You know, you can't really sit and appreciate every little thing in all of these shots, which is
right.
People like to do that.
Yeah, no,
I agree with you in terms of the ebbs and flows of the film. You know, I think that the story was like a little wonky, you know, whereas in the first film, they were like, hey, you guys have to save the world. And they're like, okay. And then they just go and they do it. You know, this film, they kind of had to come to terms with it. They had to learn about the world, learn about what was going on, find their arcanas, right?
Oh, right.
And like,
I guess
you
should
know, find that within themselves.
Do you want to explain what that is?
So they all have markings on their body that pretty much is the way that Lord Raiden knows, you know, like you are a chosen one. You have it on your body, you know, it's like called, and you have to pretty much like release that. Like that marking on you is an arcana within yourself that releases your powers within, that you have to like, you know, have go through the process of finding.
Yeah. And everyone has a different arcana that's special to them. What
yeah,
is Cole Young?
Like
he gets like
ways.
A cool armor?
I guess
that's
so, not, yeah.
That's a, some whack, that's like a whack arcana if you ask me.
What do you mean that armor grows?
Yeah, but like it's just like armor. Like I mean, Sonya Blade only gets her arcana, we see it for like a second, she shoots like laser fists or something.
Yeah, well I thought that was interesting too, in the sense where she's not a chosen one in this one. I'm like, then why
she's
is she
not
here?
Yeah, they really dicked over Sonya Blade. I was very very upset with the handling of Sonya Blade's character, because
well, she was super angry.
This was, well, not just super angry, but it was also like kind of, she was kind of whack.
Well, to be fair, in the first one, she was also kind of really angry.
No, I think Sonya Blade is always angry. She's just an angry white woman. She's a Karen.
Yeah, but at the same time, it was like, why doesn't...
she's a Karen. I don't think she's that a Karen was... at all. And
I didn't catch that.
Go on,
Nicole. She wants to talk to Shao Kong. It's just like, excuse me, why am I... Shang Tsung. It's like, excuse me, why am I not at the top of this tournament? I should be fighting this person, not...
Well, yeah,
she
was also kind of like the Hermione, you know, of the bunch, where she did all research. She found out all this shit, you know. She found Kano and was able to keep him captive and all this stuff. And she's the reason that Cole and all of them got to the Earth.
Exactly.
So she was really important, and she was totally dicked over in the eyes of everyone else. Where they're like, oh, I mean, you're free to, like, watch, but you kind of can't be here because you don't have a marking, you know?
Right.
It's like, damn.
Well, I mean, you know, but the setup was there because she has to fight her mortal enemy. Obviously, to the death to get the marking. That's how you get the marking, guys. You kill someone with a marking. You're either born with it, like if it's Maybelline, or you have to fight to the death.
Just like the stonemason.
Or it appears.
Right, you're born with it.
Yeah.
No.
Who did it appear on?
Cole was born with it.
Yeah. Who else did it appear
other
on?
Warriors.
Jack's got it.
At some point, they get it.
No, yeah. Jack's got it because he's killed someone who... Because
he killed a warrior who had it, so he was worthy enough of it being transferred.
Okay, so my understanding was that so Cole was born with it. He's the special one because of the bloodline.
Yeah.
Because
of
his bloodline. Then there are those who live a life, the way of the warrior, and then they get chosen, and it appears for them.
Maybe.
And then there are those who kill the warrior... And then that burden is passed on to them.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah, I have nothing to discredit that.
I think that's it.
That's what I got.
No, yes. that sounds reasonable. I mean, there was a big exposition dump.
There was.
Let's just say that, and that was Sonya Blade. It's just like this has been going on for years and stuff. And look, it's Nightwolf. If you play the game, you saw that he's like the Native American character.
Yeah.
He's one of the fighters in the original game, and I wish we could have seen him. It would have been nice to have an indigenous person fighting to the death.
Maybe in the next one.
But yeah, that was a huge exposition dump, and that's when we figure out all the rules. They get attacked by a reptile, literally.
Yeah, they get attacked a lot in this one. There's a lot of action.
Well, that's because Shang Tsung is cheating. Like, Shang Tsung is just like, we're not going to wait till the tournament. I'm just going to go. I'm going to attack him now before
the
tournament.
Like a proper freaking villain, honestly.
So how did you feel about this Shang Tsung?
I did prefer the original.
Okay. Was it the wig? I feel like the wig was just too much on this one.
I know.
That wig, it was just does not work for his look.
And also,
he's not threatening. He has like a very non-threatening face.
Is it because he was super fashionable?
Maybe. I could forgive him. I love a fashionable villain. It was just the wig was not working for him and the face. Like, he's not imposing.
Okay. Well, I also think he's supposed to look non-threatening, which is part of his appeal. He's horrifying. He's terrifying. He's not even mortal, but he looks, you know, non-threatening.
Fair.
I liked his henchmen in this one. You know, like, who's the guy who like persuaded Kano to pretty much join them?
Oh, Cabal.
Yeah, I really enjoyed him.
I've been pronouncing his name wrong my whole life. I thought it was Cable because that's how you see. You know, there's no pronunciations, but Cable is who I thought his name was pronounced.
Cable, like C-A-B-L-E.
Well, C-A-B-A-L. Cable. I don't know. I was a kid.
Okay. Yeah. No, I get it. I get it. I loved him. You know, and I loved that scene. And I felt more so like, you know, kind of like these guys versus the guys in this movie. You know, Shang Tsung's people and Lord Raiden's people. There was more a sense of team. I'll give them that.
Oh, yeah. Because like all evil works together.
Yeah.
But good guys have to learn how to work together.
Absolutely. There was just something that was kind of like beat by beat. And then even then the beats were missing. And I'm going to give you this moment in the film in particular to make my point. Remember when Cole Young was like, man, I can't release my arcana. This sucks. I want to go home. And Lord Raiden was like, okay, phew, go home.
Bye. Yeah.
He went home, gets attacked by, I think,
Goro.
Goro. I always say Goro. Grog.
I don't know why.
Prince Goro.
Prince Goro, yes.
Pretty much, you know, and then Shang Tsung, you know, his defenses come down, they attack, and then he has his arcana release, and then Lord Raiden's like, hey, come back, right? I kind of planned that, right? It's kind of like this whole, like, you know, it's plotted, it has its thing, and then it comes out victorious. Something about that I felt like was missing a beat. Like, there was something about, like, oh, I didn't see what Cole Young needed to. Now, I know what it was that he needed to release his arcana. It was defending his family, right?
Oh.
But maybe it was the whole film before it. Well, maybe you thought it was something else.
Oh, I thought it was just, I don't know, you see a four-arm monster. It's just like, how does that not release your arcana?
Yeah, it's like, okay, let's go. Let's do this, right? But I felt like it just kind of happened, and then he got his arcana. Like I felt like they were trying to plant this like emotional connection. You'd be like, oh, that's how he got it, right? He earned that. That makes sense. And I didn't feel any of that. It just kind of happened. And even though this film was more so concerned compared to the original with like, this is why they get there, and then this is how they get there, and like explaining more and giving more motivation, I still wasn't really picking up on that from this film. I thought this film was moving way too much. Like, I didn't have enough time for me to grasp or to swallow one scene by the time we went on to the next one.
You want a four-hour version of this Mortal Kombat?
You know what? Maybe Mortal Kombat would make more sense as a miniseries.
Oh, don't disagree with you there. Hell yeah, I would love this. Totally would have been better as a miniseries.
But I think it was also just, maybe it was the acting. Like you said, Cole Young was
Cole Young was. Now that was Sonya Blade. The only, here we go. I can tell you the actors that gave a damn in this movie. Whoever played Raiden, I'll give Shang Tsung. Like, yeah.
Raiden was good. Yeah.
The outfit, not the outfit, but the hair maybe wasn't working for you, but you know what? You worked.
Kano was good in the allure.
Kano was so good. He's so, so good. Jax, I thought, was good.
Yeah. The supporting cast was good, just not the stars.
It was just our main characters who just.
Oh my gosh. Another moment where he meets Sonya Blade, right? And he's like, and he goes there and she's like, who are you? And she's like defending herself. And he's like, oh, I was told to come here by Jax. And she's like, oh, okay, I'm Sonya Blade. Very next scene. Exposition drop.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
It was like everything was just so fast.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, I feel like they let down Sonya Blade's character. She really let go of him too quickly. I feel like real Sonya Blade would have already stabbed him by now.
Well, I'm also like, this is one of the thoughts that I had. This actually, you're going to be surprised by this and the way this is all going to come full circle. But this made me think of Wreck-It Ralph. Okay. Do you remember Wreck-It Ralph?
Have I seen Wreck-It Ralph?
No, you didn't see the first one. I saw the first one.
Yeah, Eddie.
I'm a big fan.
I feel like Eddie wants to divorce me. I still haven't seen it. I hear it's good. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's delightful. But there's this character that's played by Jane Lynch's character, and she's like in like a Call of Duty kind of game.
Okay.
And Fix-It Felix and her meet and all this stuff. So she's totally badass. She's the most badass character that any of these, that Wreck-It Ralph or any of these other people are going to meet, right? In their whole like arcade game universe. Yet her whole story is dictated by a man in the sense where she lost her love and her only motivation is to find love again.
Uh-huh.
And it just really pisses me off because she's like so badass. Like she doesn't need to have her backstory be her trying to like get her love again. Like why are women always just like their motivation is to get vengeance or to find their love or something? Like it always ties back to a man. And so Sonya Blade in that way kind of reminded me of that Jane Lynch character from Wreck-It Ralph where it was just like, you're just so angry and it's because of a dude, isn't it? That's why you're freaking angry. In the original, don't you remember Sonya Blade was out for vengeance about her lover, about Wilson?
Oh, I don't remember that.
You don't remember that?
I know that she wanted to kill Wilson.
Yeah, that's also why she's out for Kano and stuff like that. I think at this one, it's kind of implied that her and Jax have that kind of relationship.
You think so?
I think so.
I don't think so.
I kind of got that.
Really?
You know?
That would not be canon, I feel like, because I feel like Sonya Blade ends up with...
It wouldn't be. Well, I mean, they Johnny introduced Cage. Cole Young, so...
I mean, that...
Of course, she ends up with somebody. Of course you beat me there.
I might be making that up. Maybe that's just like headcanon.
I don't think so. I think we really kind of made it like they were like Band of Brothers kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where they served together.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't each other's back.
It wasn't implicitly stated. So, you know.
I mean, they never kissed.
They never, no. Well, that's, so. That I will give them. But I wish that at least like her character traits were just based on other reasons other than, you know, some dude.
What is she... what if they make her a lesbian and like have her like
I'm not saying the answer is be a lesbian, like it's just like all
I think
these
that's
other
my
characters.
Answer that's always my answer, it's just like give me a Sub-Zero Scorpion kiss, that's all I want.
You know, Kano is not defined by his heterosexuality or his sexuality at all, you know, so
I also wanted Kano to kiss like all
not.
The guys.
Oh, do you thought he was hot?
I think his personality is what made him, and the arms. He had nice arms. I don't think he had like an attractive face, but I think his personality and the biceps are a good package together.
Interesting. Okay. I just, again, you know, there are so many other characters who don't, that their motivations are not ruled by, you know, love and people in their life like that. So, you know, why does hers have to be? But I guess that's more so appropriate for the 1995 one because she was like really angry.
She
didn't trust anyone. And she was like, don't tell me that I need help. I don't need help. You know.
What was her? Yeah, she also had the one line where she's talking to Jax, who makes an appearance of like 5 seconds in the movie. But when she's running with the gun, she's just like, he's just like, you gotta trust me. She's like, I only trust one person, and I'm talking. That's what she says.
I think I remember that, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I didn't care for this Sonya Blade. I was just.
Well, did you care for this movie?
Oh, kind of. You know what it is? Like I said, this movie had ebbs and flows, and I think it ended for me on an ebb or flow, which is the bottom.
I think it's the flow.
The flow is the bottom. Yeah, so it ended on an ebb for me because of the fight sequence between Scorpion and Sub-Zero.
Yeah, that was good.
It was just like, okay, great. You ended on a high for me. Good job,
movie. It
was a
nice bookend. Yeah, it started that way. I mean,
So no, did I care for the characters? No. Was I secretly rooting for Sub-Zero? Yes, I was. He had a cool costume.
Sub-Zero is so badass.
They really, really made him so cool in this movie, which is great because I feel like he was so many kids' favorite character growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he actually had, like, I think even in Mortal Kombat 3, he had two different versions of Sub-Zero. There was Sub-Zero who was masked, and there was Sub-Zero without the mask, and there were two different characters. Right.
Mm-hmm.
He was so popular, and he was probably the one who had the most fleshed out backstory. So a lot of people love Sub-Zero, and watching him in this movie was very, very fun. He was easily one of my favorite, outside of Kano. He was also my next favorite part of the movie, which is interesting. Yeah. Right. So he got signed for a five. Joe Taslin. He got signed for a 5-movie deal for Mortal Kombat.
Are you serious?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. They think this movie's going to do that well that they have a
Sign them in for the 5 years. If they don't, they don't have to make the movies. For that's the five movies, yes. Really interesting. They don't have to make them, but...
That's interesting. Okay. I mean, yeah, I think he's great. And this is, you know, if you've been listening to this podcast all year, you've known that 2021 has not been a good year so far.
Right.
All the stuff that we're covering that came out this year, I don't think we thought positively about even one of them. I don't think so. I think all the things we thought positively about were from last year.
I think you're right. Yeah, yeah. I was just like, I think we covered some stuff that we liked, but that was, you're right. That was from 2020.
And so where does this stand in terms of the, you know, like mediocrity or subparness that is 2021? You know, this isn't the worst that this year has given us. It's not going to be the best either.
No.
But it's just, it's interesting too, because it's just, I see that Hollywood is trying to, you know, make these films that are more character driven, give them the origin stories and make you connect with characters. And they're just missing the mark.
Right.
I mean, I kind of liked the Power Rangers 2017, but obviously it was a failure. There's no more Power Rangers movies. It's probably going to need a reboot in a couple of years. They missed the mark.
They missed the mark. I don't know. And I can't explain to what that mark was missed. I think it was focusing too much on origin.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. So that's the thing. Like, do you think that the way that this... Yeah. Do you think that the way that they did this film is going to work to the Mortal Kombat franchise's benefit?
I think what... If they're smart, the route that they take is focus on what makes this movie fun. Because I think that's what audience reactions here has been. Like, when this movie is fun, it's fun. Yeah. When this movie is serious, it's kind of like, it's like
boring.
Any other movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
And so I think if, so right now, this movie, in terms of streaming numbers, I heard that this movie is so far doing even better than King Kong.
Really?
Box office, it was top of the box office for the week of the pandemic. I think it opened with 25 million here in the U.S.
Something yeah, like that. Well, so far, as of April 27th, it's grossed about 51 million.
Okay, there you go. It's, you know,
but that's worldwide.
Okay, but pandemic aside, but in terms of streams, it streamed more so than Kong versus Godzilla.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So... Yeah, I think it has an audience. I think it has a built-in audience.
It definitely does.
And so I think the pandemic here might be its saving grace, right? Where I think the studio might say is just like, okay, maybe we have something here. Let's give another green light for a second one and see how it performs. But like, if they learn from their mistakes here and kind of give us a Johnny Cage and kind of go with that kind of like fun. Gore. Now here's, I mean, the other thing that this movie was great for was the gore. I think that's where it delivered, right?
Like, I
this
think so.
You know, the game is about gore and blood, and this one delivers in that one.
Yeah.
Almost to a point of being like, oh, too bloody at times.
This but, one?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I sometimes say the violence opening, was gratuitous.
Well, the opening sequence was done very well. The backstory of Hanzo Hisashi was done pretty well, and I was like, oh, good start. Then when it became like modern day and like there was just more fight sequences and more going on, I'm going to chalk it down to editing, and I'm not even going to blame the editor because I think, you know, they were had someone over their shoulder telling them to edit it a certain way.
Right.
But I can't say that about the fights because I felt like everything moved too fast. And at the end, too, was almost like too digital. Like I felt like I couldn't even really appreciate the fighting choreography.
Oh, no. Yeah, I agree with you on that one. I'm talking about literal blood on screen.
I still wouldn't say that I can't even remember it. I remember it more so from the 90s than I do from the 2021.
There wasn't that much blood in the 90s.
Yeah, but I remember it more.
I guess so, because it happened so few times. I think if the movie, as a franchise, if it focuses on the stuff that works, I think they may have something here. And, you know, the stuff that works seems to be the Outworld. So, you know what? A whole movie just on the Outworld.
So wait, do you think that this film was needed? This reboot of the Mortal Kombat series was needed?
I don't think it was needed. Period. That's it. I don't think it was needed. I don't. I think watching it on HBO, because I'm not paying extra for HBO Max, right? So
yeah,
that's
that
the
nice.
Bonus. So that's like, that is such an interesting year for me to judge movies when it's just like, did I pay extra for this? No. So now based on that's like the criteria, right? So it's just like, I didn't pay for this. So where does that rank? And that does affect the ranking for me. Mm-hmm. This is an above average movie. It's not a good movie. It's an above average movie. And just like, you know what? This is a movie that I, if I have it on in the background again, I probably, like if it ever shows up like on TV and it's like playing, I'm like, oh, let me see what fight sequence is on. Okay. And yeah. Leave it on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's
no,
how I feel
sure.
about this movie.
Absolutely. Indifference is a good word for me. I mean, I'm not a video gamer, and so the original 90s film was fun as, you know, being like, oh my god, this movie is so 90s.
I mean,
and
that
had
one,
some
ever
enjoyable
playing
qualities.
Yeah, that one, if that movie is ever playing again, I'm just like, I'm watching it.
I'm sure the nostalgia is part of that.
Yeah, probably.
But, yeah, so I am indifferent to the overall series. Of course, you know, I didn't think it was needed, but it was an okay attempt, you know, and I guess... I don't know. It's like, and I feel like this isn't a good thing. So I guess overall, maybe it's negative. But I'm just like, I don't really care.
I mean, yeah.
There was just nothing about it to make me want to be like excited about it.
I mean, maybe yeah.
It was perfectly fine though. Like I think this is one of the better films that I watched. You know, there were things that I've watched recently that I absolutely hated. Tom and Jerry.
Oh,
but,
yeah,
you know,
that's right.
That was so bad.
I can't wait for it to sweep our end of the year awards.
Yeah, seriously. I don't think it could get worse. I hope it doesn't. Oh. But, I mean, yeah, and the fact that I watched both of these for free in the comfort of my own home was also definitely an enjoyable part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have much to say. I don't... Of course, it wasn't needed. It was okay. I'm indifferent.
Hey, you know, you're making an argument for our audience, right?
Am I? I feel like I'm not even saying anything. I'm like,
I feel like it's just like you're you keep repeating yourself, and it's just like, you don't have to defend yourself, girl. It's fine. It is fine.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate that.
Because, you know, I don't think Mortal Kombat, you know, I mean, part of the reason why I don't think it was needed is because, like, yeah, they're making the games. Let it be a game. Sometimes video games don't have to be adapted into movies.
Seriously.
Am I excited, though, for The Last of Us to be adapted as an HBO series? Hell fucking yeah. Am I going to watch it? Yes. Am I ready to be disappointed? A little.
Absolutely.
No, not absolutely.
But wait, were you disappointed about The Witcher?
Oh.
Which is a video game?
Sort of.
I was not.
A little. Here's why I was a little disappointed with... Not disappointed. That's a weird word. I was more, like, confused by The Witcher for the first half of the show. Or maybe for the first few episodes, because they don't tell you at all how it's non-linear, and that throws you... That just throws you for a loop when you're watching the show, and yet you come to appreciate it by the end. So, no, yeah. Disappointment? No. But, like, was I confused by it? Sure. Mm. Yeah. But that you're right. That's a good example. But that's based off of a book series.
Mm. I was going to say, I didn't know that was a video game.
Yeah, that's the video game is good.
Interesting.
Yeah, so there you go. So
but. We haven't done this in a while. So how do you feel about doing a lightning round?
Oh my god, I can't wait.
Let's do it.
Whichever movie will a movie have a flawless victory? I don't know. Let's find out right now.
Let's find out.
Lightning round.
Round one.
And well, we can't do Johnny Cage, so there goes that. And we can't do Cole Young. So I guess we'll start with Sonya Blade.
Sonya.
I'm going to go with the 95 version.
Ooh, this is tough.
That is a tough one because I feel like they're both so like...
They're both like... I almost can't tell them apart. They're very similar. Yeah, okay. I'll go with the 90s version.
Yeah, she gave me that one line. It's like, I only trust one person and she's talking. Come on.
You should use that like every day of your life.
If I was like on a reality TV show and you know those intros, it's like,
ooh,
I
like
only trust
circle.
One person. Yes. There you go. Yeah. If I was in the circle, like, you know, when
message.
They're in the thing, that'd be my profile. Thing. I only trust one person and he's writing this message right now. There but then go. I'm a catfish, right? So that's like the,
ooh, that's true. Yes. And all right, we're getting off topic here.
Round two.
How about Liu Kang or is it Liu Shen?
Liu Kang. I'm going to go with the original one.
Absolutely.
I think the new one was too wholesome, and I didn't care for it.
He seemed very young too, and not fully formed. And I really liked the main character of the original Mortal Kombat for sure. Yeah.
Liu Kang wins round three.
Jax only was in the first one for like 2 seconds. So
yeah, so the new one definitely.
The new one, I guess. Yeah,
he was more formed.
Sure.
Round four.
Kano.
Oh, no, the new Kano, 2021's Kano.
I like the original Kano.
Really? More so than 2021's?
I felt like the 2021's was clearly like, here's, you know, the cool badass guy who's going to deliver all the laughs and stuff. And it was just
but
like,
he didn't. But sometimes the thing with those characters is that they like end up staying good guys, right? Like, you know, he starts off as like as a good guy. He's helping the good team. So you expect him to stay to the very end. And the fact that they made him a bad guy in the end, I think was a nice twist on that.
I enjoyed him, but yeah. I liked the original a little better.
Okay. Was it the costume design, that metal plate?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was that, yeah.
It gets everybody.
Round 5, Sub-Zero.
What about Sub-Zero?
New one. 2021 Absolutely. Sub-Zero.
New one. They did him good. They did him good.
He was a character.
And I feel like we can't even say, like, Scorpion, because he wasn't in the first one that much.
Yes, he was. He was in a fight sequence.
One fight sequence, but... Okay.
So, Scorpion was only in 2 fight sequences in this one.
Did you say Scorpio?
No, I said Scorpion. Scorpio was only in 2 fight sequences in this one.
You just said Scorpio again.
Oh, did I say? No, yeah. Actually. No, if I had to pick the Scorpio... Damn it. Now I'm doing... fucking A. The Scorpion... I actually might pick the 95 Scorpion.
Mm.
And the reason I go with that one is because that was such a cool fight sequence between him and Johnny Cage. Like, it starts off in the forest, and then it takes you to, like, the pits of hell, right? Like that's, like, cool. Like, that's basically two fight sequences in one. Here, yeah. He was in 2 fight sequences, so.
That's true. I don't know. I enjoyed the opening, so I guess I'll give it to the new one.
Okay.
Just because of the motivation.
Scorpion wins. Round 6.
Lord Raiden.
Oh, new Lord Raiden. 2021.
Oh, Christopher
Raiden.
Lampard. Such a... What the fuck were they thinking?
Final round.
And Sheng Tsung.
Now, that's a hard one because I actually prefer the character in the 2021 one, but that wig was just not working for me. Like, I really was hoping for a wig reveal at the end where it's just like, oh, thank God, there's something under there. Like, I don't have to watch this for the whole
movie. Oh, my God. Imagine.
Movie.
That's what this movie was missing. A wig reveal.
You know what I was actually thinking? It's just like, God, how much better would this movie have been if it was all drag queens?
Ooh.
You know what I mean? Like, don't change the tone at all, but just make them all drag queens for some reason.
Interesting. Or drag how kings great. Since they're all men.
And...
Or,
yeah, both.
Yeah.
Everything.
Interesting. Ah, that would have
all
been
of
fun.
Them. No, I think I'm going to go with 95's Shang Tsung.
Me too. Yeah, I really
he was
him.
He was more villainous.
Yeah, he was more of like a dick.
Mm-hmm. I mean, come on, the first time we see him, he's just screaming at Kano. He's like, "Your soul is mine."
Yeah, he delivered those lines
not
so
Kano,
well.
Liu Kang's, yeah.
Yeah. Flawless victory.
Yeah, that's the other thing he does. Yeah, so he was Shang Tsung from the 95 version.
Yeah, I agree
for sure.
Fatality.
What about you guys? Did you like the new one? Are you a fan of the original? Some opinions. Eddie didn't share any of his opinions. So, you know, email us and make him talk more, guys.
Yeah, because...
You guys pretty much said a lot.
Oh,
we talk a lot.
Are you talking about the fans or us? Because, like, the mail that you guys have been sending us, like, Eddie, where's Eddie? Excuse us.
Yeah.
Excuse us.
Seriously, what about us, guys?
Yeah, like, we are the hosts of the show. But no, we love hearing from you guys, even if it's just praising Eddie. So yes, email us, guys. Our email is remakesrebootsrevivals@gmail.com.
Yeah.
You can also hit us up on social media. Our Instagram is remakesrebootsrevivals, Facebook/remakesrebootsrevivals, and we do have a hotline. Nicole,
that number.
You have that theme song yet?
Oh no, no.
Damn.
No, it was terrible last time. I cut it out of the episode. 862-248-2326. That number again, 862-248-2326.
That's right. So leave us a voicemail. We just might play it on the air. We do love hearing from
you
guys.
We will. Like, if you listen to our Q&A, we will play it on the air.
This is true. Right. We will play it on the air. But no, we love hearing from you guys. Send us an email. Send us DMs. You know, it's so nice to feel appreciated. And like after our Q&A episode, like we got more and I'm just like, oh great, like we're encouraging people to like reach out, so please.
Yes, absolutely. If you have contacted us too, wait for our next episode, you will be referenced, so
for sure.
And all right, so I guess that wraps up today.
You tell us, was this a flawless victory that we performed on these movies?
Yeah, or did we need to finish it sooner? because we went on too long.
We might have. That is, that's probably what the audience is screaming right now. It's just like, end it.
If you're here,
finish him.
All right, let's finish this.
Yes, well, until next time, stay unoriginal.